You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen on Friday, January 23rd, 2026. Thank you for joining me, Ron, to bring the community an update from the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District.
Good morning, Melissa. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here. Like I said, we're recording this on January 23rd, and the temperatures today are downright dangerous.
Yes, they are.
On Wednesday this week, schools notified parents the district would be closed on Friday because traveling to and from school is just not safe for students. Mm-hmm. So, however, students in grades 6 through 12 are still in school today. Now, this isn't something that would have been possible when I was in school.
Correct.
But today is an e-learning day for students. They only need to attend from about 8 to roughly noon, and there's teacher office hours from 12:15 to 2:55, and that's the usual dismissal time, right?
Correct.
Okay, so is this the first e-learning day for the school year?
Yes, it is. So we build in always in our school calendar two, what I would call two traditional snow days at the secondary level and three traditional snow days at the elementary level. So we exhausted our two already, and so this allowed us to go to remote learning, which, as you said, was impossible, you know, even a decade ago for us to move in this direction. I do think it does help us not extending the school year into June and changing those dates and then summer employment for students, which is a big deal, especially at that upper middle and high school level. Mm-hmm. So it really provides that context of when the final date of the school year is, allows us to move to remote learning for these days. Kind of divided up that students have classes in the morning, so they get their direct instruction from their faculty. And then what may be that work time in class normally in that 70-minute time period, let's say at the high school, ends up being that afternoon time slot for students. So they can balance their time based upon possibly other needs that they may have at home as well, if there's younger siblings there, et cetera. So it's that fine balance of not extending the school year, but yet providing that instruction for our students throughout the day.
Okay. And what is the feedback that you're hearing from students, parents, teachers on e-learning?
We don't have it happen very often. We did not really have it happen last school year at all. I think students became a little bit more accustomed to it during COVID, obviously. Post-COVID, we preferred everybody in the classroom and gain that social interaction that's, I think, really important in a K-12 school system. But it does provide that flexibility of not extending the day. And when you're looking at making a call, if you're not going to have school, like whenever a cold warning is issued, we're not going to be in school. When frostbite can happen within 10 minutes, I don't want students sitting out at a bus stop at that point. So when that cold warning is published by the National Weather Service, school's automatically going to go off, mm-hmm. which is why when that was published on Wednesday afternoon, I wanted to let parents know right away, because if grandma or grandpa needed to come, or an aunt or uncle, or just make arrangements for childcare for elementary students, parents would have plenty of time to do that versus waiting until Thursday afternoon, knowing full well that we weren't going to be in school today.
Well, it gives the students some time to prepare as well.
Right. They're able to bring home the secondary students, knowing that it's remote learning. They know they're going to have to bring their Chromebooks home, and teachers have that opportunity on Thursday to review expectations that cameras are on. You need to be engaged within that curriculum. And if by chance we have a fourth day, elementary students will have requirements that will be sent home that the prior day, if we're able to know that ahead of time.
Oh, that's good. And you talked about bus stops, but there are certain students who are expected to walk to school that don't have a busing option. So
yeah, correct. So students within 2 miles of their school building that do not live in a hazardous area do walk to school. And so that's really the reason we don't want them, because even when it gets to minus 20, we want you bundled up, hat, mittens, coats, and we full know well that teenagers aren't necessarily the best, or young kids aren't necessarily the best at putting all the warm weather protection on that you and I have today when we walked into the studio. So
that is true.
Fully bundled up.
But there's a high probability of there's somebody out there in shorts right now. I don't know who that dude is, but
exactly.
Oh, well, it's awesome that that we now have the technology where they have these opportunities, mm-hmm. and they can communicate directly with their teachers as well.
Correct. So available all afternoon. Their staff is available. So if students have questions, they can email them, or some teachers have chats that are open all day for students to respond to them in that way. The other opportunity about moving a little earlier with it, if students do not have internet access at home within our libraries, we do have hotspots that are available for checkout for students who may not have that ready internet access at home.
Oh, so good. So hotspots they can take home.
They can
with
take home,
them.
Check them out, and then bring them back. Post the inclement weather day, so those opportunities are there. So it's one of the reasons when it gets to this cold, or if we know a snowstorm is coming in here in the future, we're going to get 6 to 8 to 10 inches, that we'll try to make those calls a little earlier, one for daycare arrangements, and two so students are well prepared.
Mm. And do you feel that this puts on them a little bit of the onus of being responsible for their time?
Yeah, it's some of those soft skills that we all want students to learn as well, you know, being on time, your independent work is important for you to move forth. And so those are soft skills that obviously we want students to learn and develop, which we talk about all the time within in the school building. It just shows it a little bit more when they're expected to do it from home.
Hmm. Well, now let's talk a little bit about the new RAMS principal that is going to be at the Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School next year for the 2026-27 school year. She's not new to the district, but Tracy Ginter,
Correct.
She's retiring after 30, oh my goodness, I lost my notes,
32 years. Yes. So Tracy started as an English language arts teacher at what was then called West Junior High, and then moved to an assistant principal there for 2.5 years, and has served then as principal at West Junior High and now RAMS. Tracy submitted her retirement request to the school board in December. We wish Tracy well as she finishes her last year and then moves on. She's got some new grandkids that she wants to spend time with. So we look forward to her having that opportunity to spend time with her grandkids.
Yeah, congratulations, Tracy. Yep.
And Kelly Schaefer will be the new principal.
Okay, and she's coming from another school
building? Kelly is currently the principal at Washington Elementary. She's been at Washington for almost 15 years now. And the prior experience in the Nakusa district. So we're excited for that transition. I think it's important that we utilize our staff. We'll have a lot of current faces in new places is kind of the phrase. The school board has reduced administration by 7% for next school year, moving forth in terms of the budget deficit, which we'll talk about later. But that with that reduction, we're just moving some of the individuals that are currently on the administrative team around into some of our new places. So Kelly's really excited. My kids went to Washington as elementary students, so I'm disappointed for that she won't be at Washington, but I'm excited for the opportunity for her to lead RAMS into its future.
Mm-hmm. And to work with students in the next phase of their education.
Yeah, she'll be able to bridge that elementary gap when you have those fifth graders that come into sixth grade, because that is a big transition. Middle school is probably, in all the schooling environments, middle school is the hardest. You know, I mean, just the mental and physical changes that you're going through as a person. In addition, the newer expectations that are laid upon as you're moving into from the elementary level to the secondary level. So having that elementary experience and making that transition from fifth to sixth grade, we're really excited for Kelly to have that.
All right. Well, congratulations to Kelly as well. Speaking of transitioning from schools, registration is going to be the last week of January here.
Correct. Starting at Lincoln, we'll be doing registration on Monday night. There is a parent meeting at 5 o'clock in the Performing Arts Center for any new student that looks to enroll at Lincoln. So that's including incoming freshmen, but also students who are looking at Lincoln as an opportunity for the future. Lincoln offers lots of opportunities, lots of dual credit opportunities. On our social media, we just published, you know, over 75 students doing work-based experience. We have just got recognized as an AP Pacesetter school. So we have those. We had over a 91% success rate last year in students who took advanced placement exams, as well as those opportunities with dual credit at UW-Green Bay and Mid-State Technical College. And then just the hands-on CT experience, such as our building construction house that the students are building. So a lot of those opportunities. So at 5 o'clock, there'll be a parent meeting to go over all those opportunities from that 9th through 12th grade year for our students. And then after that is finished, all the departments at Lincoln will be available for, they have some activities planned, you know, generally an egg. They're like doing seeds or plantings down there, so students can do that. But all the departments will be available to ask questions for what courses will look like. And a lot of that ends up more with parents because school looks a little different than it did when they went to school. We all think school hasn't changed, and school's changed quite a bit. So what does that look like within those areas? And then to plan their course selection, and then RAMS will be right after that.
Okay. Well, let's take a pause here for a short moment to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay talking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community, and I'm speaking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District. We left off talking about registration for students. That will be ongoing the entire last week of January?
Last week of January, first week of February.
Okay, so there's plenty of time for parents to get their questions asked, to request to see things in the school. This is going to air after Monday is over, yeah. So they'll already have had that, but hopefully people got their question answered. If they have more about enrollment, where do they reach out to, Ron?
District enrollment, you contact the enrollment center over at central office, but individual students, if you're already part of the school district, you just contact your school counselor.
Perfect.
Will be your best contact moving forth. Speaking of open enrollment, 4K enrollment will be starting as well, so that's at at the district office. One of the exciting things about 4K is the district will be piloting full-day 4K in at least two sites for this upcoming school year. So that is something new for us moving forth. So the board has decided in December to pilot it in at least two locations. So as parents register for 4K, they'll have the opportunity to choose a half-day program or a full-day program. And then we're going to see what the requests are for full day and try to balance what those requests are versus what we have available within our school buildings.
Because I would imagine that a half day can present perhaps some childcare issues for parents that are working full-time jobs.
Yeah, moving into this position from high school principal, it's one of the things I would hear most over the summer is, are you going to look at offering a full-day 4K program? Unfortunately, when it comes to state funding, the state doesn't fund full-day 4K. Mm. They only fund like a 0.6 of a student, even if they're here a full day. So any of that additional burden to offer a full-day 4K program comes upon the district. So that involves us modifying our budget, looking at areas where we can gain some efficiencies in order to offer that full-day 4K. So that's kind of why we're piloting it next year. We want to see how it works, what the parent requests are. We'll always offer full day, even if the district goes to a greater full day option in the future, because we know some parents only want the half day option, and then they have a grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, or they're home themselves, and they want to have that opportunity to spend that extra time with their own child. But we know for some families whose parents may both work during the school day, that full day option would be a very good option for them.
Well, and speaking of funding, let's move into what the school board just approved here with the approval of a resolution to place a non-recurring operational referendum question on the April 7th, 2026 ballot. So this will be $3.8 million per year for 5 years, beginning in the 2026-27 school year and ending in the 2030-31 school year. It's weird to even say that, Ron.
Exactly. When I had to write it down for the ballot question, I was like, all right, it seems really far off.
It does.
Or I'm getting really old, one or the other.
One or the other. Let's pretend it's not that.
Yes.
So tell me about how this came about. I know there was a community survey involved in making this decision.
So the district currently is operating on a $2 million non-reoccurring referendum that the voters approved in 2020. That was a five-year question, and is expiring at this point. That referendum is really to fund our curriculum and technology moving forth, which impact is continuing to grow greater. Our curriculum budget without the referendum is about $275,000 to $350,000. And just our most recent science of reading CKLA purchase at our elementary level for English language arts was nearly $750,000 over 3 years.
That's so quite a big difference.
Quite a big difference, exactly. So as we look at those increased needs and in the elementary science or elementary science of reading, that ELA curriculum choices, we, in order to get some state aid reimbursement, we were limited to four vendors that we could choose from. And some of those costs, you know, are kind of set for you by the vendors and what's required by statute. So looking at a $3.8 million referendum was really set forth by a community survey that we did for looking at what the tax impact would be in relation to what that dollar figure would be to fund district operations. Currently, we're estimating about a $4.1 million deficit for next school year, and that continues every year thereafter to about 5 years out in that 2030-31 year, which we don't want to talk about, up to about $7.1 million. So the district did send a community survey out. We had about 2,400 people complete that survey. And we provided three options to the community of looking at a $3.5 million, $4 million, and a $4.5 million referendum. 3.5 to 4 seemed to be the area in the survey that our taxpayers would support.
Mm-hmm.
So the board determined a $3.8 million referendum fee for that 5 year for that non-reoccurring. Really focus on curriculum, technology, and safety and security, which was also part of the prior referendum, but we're going to be 5-6 years out, and some of the cameras, you know, some stuff doesn't last nearly as long as it used to, and door improvements. So we're continuing to upgrade and look at those to maintain safe and secure buildings, as well as to provide greater security and safety camera access outside of our buildings, because we know stuff occurs outside the school day as well, mm-hmm. especially with all the new playgrounds that we've installed for ready access for our students, as well as community members who use our playgrounds in the evening. So the tax impact is about 10 cents per 100,000 is what we're planning on right now, which the average house in our school district is about $231,000, so about $23 for the year for the average house, so $2 a month, if you would just round it out that way,
okay.
For that impact. And that's in year one. Years 2 through 5 would actually decrease, because in years 2 through 5, we do get some state aid reimbursement on that initial dollar figure.
Okay.
In addition, the district, when we did energy efficiencies in 2017-18, that debt is falling off the district rolls at that point. So in years 2 through 5, the mill rate will actually probably drop below where we are now on that referendum exceeded debt.
Okay. So those are some definite positives.
Yes. So it continue to provide opportunities for students. We're obviously continue to look at our operations and where we can gain efficiencies, because we have had a decline in students.
Mm-hmm.
But when you only decline, let's say, 60 students in a year, that could be 2 students in third grade and they're in different buildings. So it doesn't change really your staffing costs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at changes. We'll be establishing a buildings and boundaries committee here in the near future to look at our elementary boundaries. Can we maximize areas, so class sizes in various areas? And does that mean looking at some building consolidation as we continue to grow forth? So starting here at the end of February, we'll have that building and boundaries committee.
So does that mean, like, if you live in this area mm-hmm. and you would have gone to this school,
yep.
the boundaries change, so now you go to this school?
Yeah, that's what it would mean if you look at changing some of the boundaries. And the committee would have to decide, and that's why we're going to try to draw some parents into it, representatives from various buildings, administration, and teaching staff, what that would look like. Because we do know full well that we want to use our taxpayer resources as best as we can. And we're not operating as efficiently as we can in some of our aspects. So we mm-hmm. want to pull that together. But anytime you change buildings or change boundaries, there's emotion attached to that.
Yeah.
And so we want to involve individuals going forth and making those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at those efficiencies, as I mentioned earlier in the segment, the board approved a 7% reduction in administration for next year moving forth. So those are some of the things that we heard in the community survey about looking at building consolidation, looking at boundaries, reducing administration. One of the things that was in there was reducing, looking at classes and class sizes. And that's a give and take a little bit, because we want to continue to provide students as many opportunities as we can. So mm-hmm. in some of our upper level courses, which students earn college credit on and ease a future financial burden, those classes sometimes run a little smaller because we just have less students that are taking in that area. So mm-hmm. that's a fine balance in looking at those resources as well. But the board really took a fine look at that community survey, pulled some things out that they want further direction on and strategic planning, fully knowing that we can't continue to go back to the taxpayers all the time and say, we're not looking at our operations, we're not looking at how we're going to be efficient. And so I think the board, in their call, made a wise decision of looking at about that $3.8 million referendum, but also directing me to come with them with a variety of budget reductions that we're going to implement for the 26-27 school year.
So that's some of the old faces, new places?
Yep, that's some of the yep, same
and
faces, new
old.
Places.
And I don't mean old. Any staff members, please don't take that in a negative.
No.
Familiar faces.
Familiar faces. I like
new
that even
places.
Better, new places.
There we
go.
Yeah,
so that's part of that look as we have some declining enrollment. One of the things, however, as we have declining enrollment, we've gained We've lost that many students, but we've also gained about 250 students that have need additional services.
Mm.
And so sometimes your physical spaces need to look different as well.
Mm-hmm.
And students may need more individual attention based upon those academic needs that they do have. So
right.
It's that fine balance as you have declining enrollment, but yet you have some increased needs and trying to staff through that. So we're going to be hosting a variety of listening sessions and community sessions over the next 2 months. And those will all be posted on our website. So we have a dedicated page on our website called Planning Our Future, because it is really, we're planning our future as a district and we're, how the district is going to operate in the context of our community. Because I think in order for the community to grow, the district needs to be successful as well. So mm-hmm. It's a fine balance.
And that communication is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the parents and all community members will be receiving some information mailed home, much like the community survey was mailed home. But we're also going to guide a lot through our social media
mm-hmm.
and our website for information. And as always, if you have five people, I'd be more than willing to come and visit anyone if they have questions. So you can call me at my office, 715-424-6701, extension 1. And if you have five people, I'm more than willing to come and visit.
Wonderful.
In addition to the community sessions that we'll be hosting and posting.
Okay. Well, I think that we've covered just about everything, and we've hit our time limit
All
here.
All right.
So,
sounds great.
I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen with the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, Ron.
As always, thank you.
And thank you to listeners joining us for News in Our Community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.